and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. No, not that way. That can't be the right way. This can't be the way that we're supposed to go. Isn't there another way? There has to be another way. There just has to. You are not going that way. Peter wasn't having it. Here, he had just publicly confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God in our text last week. But now, Peter's GPS was trying to recalculate. Hearing the words of Jesus, he just couldn't handle it. He couldn't go without saying something. Listen once again. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." How many of us hear Peter's words and think that we might have said the same thing? Here, Peter genuinely thinks he's helping Jesus out. He doesn't want him to go towards suffering and death. Wouldn't we do the same thing for someone that we love and care about? If we thought that someone we love and care about is headed in the wrong direction, wouldn't we say something? Or would we just let them keep going? Truth is, none of us likes to suffer. We don't like to watch those we love and care about suffer either. We can hardly blame Peter for trying to get Jesus to do a U-turn away from Jerusalem. At least from our worldly human perspective, that is. And herein lies Peter's problem. Herein lies our problem. How often do we fail to understand God's ways, thinking that we know better than he does? Peter sure thought he knew better, and he wasn't afraid to tell Jesus what he thought. How about you and me? You see, like Peter, our ears are not always open to the entirety of what God says in his word. A lot of times, our focus is so much on the present that we fail to see things in regard to the long-term destination. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is this. Peter only focused in on Jesus saying that he would suffer and die. What he did not pay attention to was that Jesus also said he would rise from the dead. And failing to listen to that long-term destination reality of the resurrection forced him to respond only in fear of what would take place in the present. And the same can be said for us. When we only focus on the suffering that we have to endure in the present in our lives as Christians, we tend to see that the path of least resistance is the one that we should take. And we think others should take it as well. After all, easy is better, right? Well, not if we desire to be a disciple of Jesus, following him to the cross and the empty tomb. The life of a disciple who follows Jesus is anything but easy, which is why Jesus makes clear in his response to Peter that God's ways are not the same as man's ways. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Just imagine for a moment what Peter's face must have looked like when Jesus said this. Here he had thought he was helping Jesus, and now he's being equated with Satan himself. There can be no greater words of rebuke coming from the Son of God. But Peter has to understand, as do we, that whenever we think we know better than God, we are following the road of Satan and what he has set out for us. You see, we have this tendency to think that there are a lot of gray areas in life when it comes to our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. But that's simply not the case. God's word makes things clear, and what he says in the Ten Commandments, exactly where he stands. And whenever we think that we know better and we just simply do whatever we want to do, say whatever we want to say, think whatever we want to think, we are following Satan and not God. It's as simple as that. There is no gray area. And then Jesus takes it to another level by addressing the mind of Peter. Listen again. He says, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter's mind was set on the path of least resistance. Though he seems to be showing concern for Jesus, he's also showing concern for himself. Where he's thinking this, if Jesus takes the easy road, then since I'm a follower of Jesus, that means I also get to take the easy road. And so this begs the question, what is on our minds? Are our thoughts consumed with taking the easy road? Do we think that since we are Christians, that we shouldn't have to suffer? Do we think that since we are Christians, that there should be no struggles in life with no difficult decisions to make? Do we think that our life will never include the realities of sacrifice when it comes to standing up for what is true according to God's word? What is on our minds? All too often, it is sin that is on our minds. And Jesus makes clear to Peter and to us that when our minds are on worldly things and worldly gain of any kind, those are the temptations of Satan to drive us away from Christ. Those things that consume our minds, like keeping up with the Joneses, or having our appearances kept up of any kind, or trying to outdo others, be it with our money, or our trophy case, or our kids' trophy case, or the stuff that we have in the garage. And though having wealth and having trophies and having stuff in the garage is in and of itself not sinful, what we need to be aware of is it can all be used by Satan to try and drive us away from Christ. He knows the buttons to press, the buttons of greed, of glory, of gluttony. He knows how easy it is for us to reorient our minds to the things of man and not the things of God. So just stop and think about all the things that you set your mind upon this past week. I'll give you about 20 minutes. But how much of that time was spent dwelling on money, or the pursuit of pride and glory for ourselves or for our kids, or the stuff we own, or the stuff that we wish we would own? You know, credit card companies now have this pie chart that it shows you how you use your money and where it all goes and breaks it all up. How would that pie chart look for what we set our minds upon on a daily basis? Jesus' rebuke of Peter is a wake-up call for all of us to do a U-turn and repent of setting our mind on the things of man and instead set our minds on Him and follow Him, trusting where He leads. He doesn't say that it will be an easy road, but He does promise the resurrection for those that follow Him on the road less traveled. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" You see, this road less traveled looks a lot like the path of a loser. There is no glory. There is no look at me moment, which is tough for us to accept because we live in a self-centered world that endorses the worshiping of the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. Now, many have stated that Christianity is for weaklings, for sissies. But nothing could be further from the truth. It is much easier to go along with the crowd, much easier to give in, much easier to walk away from the cross. And yet, on the other hand, Christianity is for weaklings. For while we were still weak, Christ died for us. You see, following Jesus is a path of service, of denying the self one day at a time as we raise a child, teach a student, care for the elderly, feed the hungry, serve in our church, serve in those vocational places that we have been given to serve. And such service and sacrifice and even suffering should in no way come as a surprise to us as we live out our faith. For we bear on our foreheads and upon our hearts the mark of the cross of Jesus. Jesus is the one who didn't recalculate his route. He didn't take a detour. He didn't do a U-turn. He went straight ahead to Jerusalem to suffer the many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes. He's the one who went head-on at Satan to crush him once and for all. He's the one who came to this earth, and he denied himself all of the comforts and the pleasures of this world. He is the one who became a loser, mocked and shamed and rejected and spat upon and whipped and beaten. He's the one who took up the cross, and he carried it through the streets of Jerusalem as they continued to mock him. He hung upon that cross even as they continued to treat him as a loser. And so it will be for us as we continue to follow him on the road less traveled. Ridicule, rejection, you name it. But it is a road that has been paved for us in the blood of Jesus, our Savior. He did the saving. He saved you and me. He died in your place and mine so that that would not be our fate eternally. In faith-filled love, we follow him as he graciously takes our hand and leads us upon life's way, all the way to our final destination of victory, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. As we close for today, I want to share with you how one missionary described this road less traveled. My Savior called me to be his disciple. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I have what I need in Jesus, my Savior. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by his grace, and look for his coming. Until then, my face is set. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My cross is heavy, but my guide is reliable. My salvation is secure. My victory has been won. While I know I will ask for forgiveness many times, I am determined not to be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. God grant me strength not to flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. God help me not to give up, shut up, or let up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am compelled to go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, when he calls me home, I will have lost nothing and gained everything. Not because of what I did with my life, but because of what he did with his. I owe it all to him. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.